Hi, this is Dave Kale, and welcome to today's Christian Business Impact Podcast. Can your organization have a greater impact for the kingdom? That's the question. You know, Christian business people ask this question, what's next, all the time. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the most asked questions over the course of a business is, what's next? And you understand the context. Your organization may have just completed some major effort, and you're ready to take a deep breath, relax, start to ruminate about the next challenge. Or, you know, maybe your business has finally reached some plateau to which you've been striving. It's consistently profitable, or maybe you just onboarded a key employee. Maybe you've put the latest product or service or system into operation. You know what I'm talking about. You got some big thing finished. It's good. Relax a minute. But then because you're an entrepreneur and you're a business guy and you want more, you begin to look ahead and you ask the question, what's next? So what is next? And let me suggest that as you begin to create a list of the initiatives that are next, that you add a new possibility. And this is the words I want you to write down on your possible list of things to be involved with next. Quote, create a greater impact for the kingdom, unquote. Let me repeat that. Your suggested item on the list of next initiatives is, quote, create a greater impact for the kingdom, unquote. So on your list of possibilities, you know, as you think about what should I invest my time and money and expertise into, what's my next biggest thing, I'm going to suggest that you consider the initiative of creating a greater impact for the kingdom. Now, that's a little different kind of initiative than what you may be used to. You know, it's not a new branch or a new product. It's not a new IT system. It's not a new larger facility. But it's one that will take a great degree of time and effort and intensity on your part. So let's just unpack this a little bit. First of all, can a business have an impact for the kingdom? Well, from my perspective, that's almost a silly question. It may surprise you that a business can and should have an impact for the kingdom. And that impact, kingdom impact, is one of the fundamental purposes for which your business has been created. Now, when I did the research for the Good Book on Business, I discovered that biblical businesses were created by God in the very first words he said to Adam. And they formed the primary social and economic units for the entire Bible narrative from creation through the end of the New Testament. Now, our modern Christian religious culture has never recognized that, and instead has relegated biblical businesses to a second-class status, holding that business can make money and give it to the religious establishment. So maybe that's a purpose of a business, just to give money to them. Or it may be that they can act as a covering for a stealth missionary effort. That's about as far as a religious establishment today sees the purpose of a biblical business. And honestly, that's woefully, woefully sad. That idea has no traction in the Bible. Work, and by extension business, were created by God in the very first moments of creation, before Eve, before family, before prophets, before scripture, and certainly before churches. God created business and established it as his primary venue to accomplish many of his purposes. Now let me repeat that, because you've never heard that before. God created business and established it as his primary venue to accomplish many of his purposes. Now, here's a short list of the purposes for which a business has been created. A business is, number one, a business is God's first choice as a venue to interact with mankind and create a relationship with him. Now, we've been told that we create a relationship with God when we go to church, but that's not what God says. He says, and he modeled, that we create a relationship with him in our work. You'll recall that God gave Adam his first job. Let's go, you know, go back to Genesis 1. Go back to the first moments of creation. God gave Adam his first job, and that job was to name the animals in the garden. So, you know, first God says, Adam, I'm going to put you in charge of the garden to keep it and to work it. That's your life's charge. For the rest of your life, be involved on a daily basis in that project. Now, let's break it up into its pieces. The first piece, the first job I'm going to give you, Adam, is to name the animals. And then God works with him, teamwork, to bring the animals to him, and Adam names them. That's a precedent-setting event. From then on, through the rest of the Bible, God gives human beings specific tasks and works with them to accomplish those tasks. That's the way God works. It's his personality. So work, and by extension, now this at the moment of creation, there were no other people, so there's no possibility for a business. But as population grew, work morphed into businesses, and business then becomes the venue that God initially designed to interact with mankind. It's in a business, not in church. It's a business where God wants to work with you, create a relationship with you, and interact with you. That's number one. Number two, business, and we understand this one. Everybody understands this one. A business provides economic security for its owners and its employees. We're all familiar with that, but what would happen if you changed your mindset and saw that economic gain as part of a God-given mission for your business? In other words, your business is designed to provide economic security for its owners and employees. That's part of the God-given mission. If you took on that mindset, would you come to the issue of where you apply time and money and how you invest it and so on and so forth, would you come to that with a sort of a different perspective? And I think you would. I think you would see economics as a mission for your business. You know, just as a reminder, in the parable of the bags of gold, the master rewarded the servants for increasing his holdings. He rewarded them with additional responsibilities and a closer relationship with him. And that parable, of course, is designed to teach us about God's view on investing in businesses. As we grow our business, God rewards us with more responsibility and a closer relationship with him, just as in the parable. So that's number two. Number three, a business builds the faith of the owners and its key people. In other words, a business is God's mechanism, his venue, for building faith. It's no coincidence that Abraham, the legendary example of faith, was also one of, if not the largest business owner in the Bible. The ups and downs of constant challenges and decisions that come with growing a business forced Abraham to rely on God. He built a huge business, and during the time that he built that business, he had no family other than his wife Sarah. He had no children. So he spent, you can imagine, if you're a single proprietor and you don't have a great deal of family responsibilities, where are you going to spend a lot of your time? It's in your business. So Abraham probably spent a lot of time building his business and at the same time building his faith. God did not ask him to sacrifice his son Isaac until Abraham was a very old man of extremely rich faith and incredibly large holdings in a business sense. He grew his faith in sync with his business. Now, there's not a business person out there who doesn't understand that the ups and downs and challenges and decisions that come with growing a business push you into a greater relationship with God, more faith. That is, it's the mechanism that God has put in place. So your business builds faith. I mean, that's a part of its purpose. Here's another one. A business is God's first choice as a venue for the manifestations of spiritual gifts. Now, we understand spiritual gifts are a supernatural abilities that given to us by God for specific purposes. Okay, the first two examples of spiritual gifts in the Bible occur in business environments. Let's go back to the very first example that we see of a spiritual gift in operation when Joseph was given the gift to interpret dreams. If you recall, he's in jail. One of the people said, "Can you interpret the dream?" And Joseph said, "I cannot interpret dreams, but God can. So tell me your dream, because I got His power in me." And he did. And eventually, that initiated a sequence of events, which led to Joseph being the CEO of Pharaoh's vast business. Maybe at that time, Pharaoh's business may have been the largest in the world. You know, he bought and stored and sold grain, built buildings, etc., etc., harnessed, you know, maybe a big part of the population to that economic entity. And that was Joseph was, I mean, that's a very business environment. That's a business task, and Joseph was in charge of it. You know, in modern terms, he was the CEO of Pharaoh's business. So that's the first example. Second example is when Moses was given the task to build the ark, you know, and the temple and the tent. Bezalel was given the gift of working with, and I quote now, all kinds of crafts. He was a craftsman. And it was Bezalel who was given the charge to actually build the Ark of the Covenant and all of the decorations and accoutrements to the tent. It was Bezalel who was given the spiritual gift of working with all kinds of crafts. He was a craftsman. He probably made his living, you know, making jewelry and things like that for the folks around him. He was a single proprietor, sole proprietorship. So we have the first two examples of spiritual gifts occurring in business environments with business implications. A business is God's first choice as a venue for the manifestation of spiritual gifts, and you've never thought of that. Here's another one. Just one more. We're not going to go through all of them, but here's another one. A business can be a conduit for God's blessings of salvation. And you'll recall that Lydia, in the New Testament now, in the book of Acts, Lydia, a businesswoman, was converted to Christianity and brought her whole business with her. The verse says, "And Lydia and her whole household." Now, a household is a business. Every time the Bible used the word household, understand that to be a business entity. A household was composed of family, but also slaves, servants, and employees. That's a biblical household. It's an economic entity. So Lydia and her whole household, Lydia was converted and so was her whole household. In other words, all the family, all the servants, all the slaves, all the employees were converted at one time. And that's just one example. That same phenomena, the head of a business converting to Christ and the entire household following him or her, occurs multiple times in the book of Acts. I'm going to challenge you, read the book of Acts and see how many times the head of the household was converted and his or her whole household, in other words, the entire business, followed him. So a business, once again, there it is once again, in God's plan, business has got a primary position. Now don't let the religious establishment tell you that a business is a second-class effort. It's not. It's God's primary place of ministry. Now, that's just a short list of the ways in which a Christian business is designed to have an impact for the kingdom. I've given you four or five. But there's a long list of the impact that a Christian business can have. Read the Good Book on Business for that list. I mean, go get the book, the Good Book on Business, and read it. The point is this: your business is meant for far more than just money. It was conceived at the moment of creation to be a powerful mechanism to share God's blessing and develop His purposes. The question should not be, quote, can a business have a kingdom impact? The answer is, of course it, of course. Rather, the question should be, what can I do to realize the kingdom impact my business is designed to have? So let's go back to unpacking the initiative. And I just suggested to you, create this initiative, quote, create a greater impact for the kingdom. If you were to list that as the next big initiative, what would happen? I mean, what would be your next steps? How would you begin to implement it? Well, here's a couple suggestions. Number one, if you choose to take steps towards achieving the impact, the biblical impact your business is designed to have, if you choose to do that, the first thing I would suggest you do is begin with more intense prayer and work at communicating with the Holy Spirit. So you're going to need all the help you can get. As for many people, this is uncharted waters. So start by seeking a closer walk with Him. That's number one. Number two, find out what it means for a business to have a kingdom impact. Now, you're probably not going to do this in a sermon. You're probably not going to get any teaching from the institutional church on it. So what you'll need to do is have an outside source of information. Now, there have been a number of books written on the subject. You know, Google Christian business, or put Christian businesses or something like that into Amazon. And I mean, you'll get a good start. Pick a couple. I'm going to recommend the Good Book on Business as a great starting point. But there's a number of books, a couple dozen easily, have been written on the subject. So start there, get an idea. What is the impact that a Christian business can have? Begin there. Number three, gather a support system. Now find some like-minded Christian business people to support you in this effort. You may already have some executives with whom you can share the vision. Great. If not, seek out a group of Christian business people who understand your problem and challenges. Probably the small group at church is probably not going to be it, because it's probably not composed of business people. See, you want Christian business people around you who have that business perspective and the business mindset. Christian business people. Now, there are several organizations who are organized for that purpose, you know, of bringing groups of Christian business people together. Again, you can Google see a Christian roundtables, Christian executive roundtables, and you'll find at least at least three or four. I have for years been a part of one of them. Another option is the Christian business impact groups, which is my effort. But again, there's lots of them around. So find a group of Christian business people. Maybe you already have it. That you can use as a support system. And then, you know, you just have to get started. Number four, just get started. This is not going to be an event. It's a continuous, never-ending process. You'll probably make hundreds of changes in your policies, in your procedures, in your relationships, and in the culture of your business. Hundreds of changes. You will have opportunity over the lifetime of your business to have an impact in ways that you really today don't even begin to conceptualize. You may never have a better opportunity to begin to tap into the potential of your business to have an impact for the kingdom than you do right now. This is the destiny for which your business was created and given to you. Don't let this opportunity to fulfill your business purposes pass you by. Okay? That's it. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Dave Kale. I just want to take a second and encourage you to expand your thinking and invest Less Than Lunch in The Good Book on Business. That's my 13th book, and it's the one that I am the most excited about. I did a lot of research, and I discovered things about what the Bible has to say about business that you are never going to read and never going to hear anyplace else. I've been a Christian for over 50 years, and I have never, ever heard some of the truths that I discovered in the Bible about business. If you are committed to your business and your career, and if you think that there is even the slightest possibility that God has something in mind for that business and that career, then you need to read The Good Book on Business. Your views about business and your career will never be the same. The Good Book on Business. Just go to www.thegoodbookonbusiness. It's less than lunch. Come on. Okay? Bye-bye.